Hello, we are on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom with
Michael Goger.
Hey, Michael Goger.
You tell me.
You sound good.
Nice mic, huh?
Yeah.
I did my work.
You did.
I cleaned up real good. I like it.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Just explain to the active listening audience, the 192 countries out there, that though we broadcast from Blog Talk is where we do a lot of readings, and Michael and I have been having a lot of technical difficulties. Michael, it's odd that we brought up getting that new headset, and you said all you have to do is just plug it in and it just picks it up. And now you know. You got to clean out all the old ones, right?
I know it. This might work, but the other one would give me more freedom, too.
So. Right. But I'm just saying all the old headsets you've had through the past.
Oh, I went through dozens.
Yeah.
Dozens of them.
Yeah, that's what we got to do, just clean out those old closets at times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to turn off my phone because my mother is texting again. God love her. Just want to give a shout out to my mom. I love her so much, and she is just an amazing woman. She's going under a lot of stress, as everybody knows that the economy is being hit real hard, and it's causing a lot of stress, undue stress, especially on the elderly. My dad worked really hard to make, from his blood, sweat, and tears, his money. He came from nothing and made something out of his life, and now my mom still carries all the books and all the world of my dad's, which is flipping her upside down due to this economy. And it's really sad because she doesn't have time to even know who I am anymore, or any of her family members, due to trying so hard to keep heads up for us to have a future if she passes away. And it's not about the material. It's not about the papers pushing. It's about loving and living now. And I just want everybody to send out prayers to my mom. Send out prayers to all the world that have economy situations and problems. And let's let love evolve instead of paper and money and materialistic belongings. Even though we have to have the materialistic to survive, we can survive off the love vibrations. Through that, we can have our realities even bigger and better by manifesting even more stronger and more powerful things that we can have to live here in this world today.
Very good.
Now you're gonna. Now that's done with honey.
How's that
with honey?
That was very good.
Michael, I want to say, Michael, you said always touch it with honey. Everything.
Always. You get more with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yep. And so I know I get defensive because Mom's so close to me. She's closer to me than any human besides my daughter, well, my kids and you. And you know what I mean. She's my mother. She carried me. And I guess, you know, she feels sometimes like it's a death and divorce when she doesn't hear. She distances herself from me. And I don't call it greed, because it's not greed. It's trying to keep her head above water. And it was always easy for her when Dad was alive. And now it's hard, because it's a lot of work. Because we have a lot of buildings and real estate, and that's not, you know, the business. Just like, for an example, the government, they just come in and they're going to park their stuff there and widen the road in one of our main buildings. Now, how's she going to do business there? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then putting a railroad track right through her parking lot. You know, that's her property, but it's really not her property. The government can say whatever they want and do whatever they want. God bless the government. I'm not putting them down, but, you know, it's just like that SimCity game that we used to play when the Macintosh first came out, and you build the city. And you have to keep fixing the pipes and the roads and everything. You know, you have to have it all planned out. And I believe God has everything planned out. And, you know, from the beginning. Michael, I found something that is going to blow my mind. It blew my mind.
Well, I want to speak on taking your mom's property. That's the fourth time since last night the subject came up. O'Reilly had or Huckabee was asking people on the street if they knew what eminent domain was. And nobody knew. Everybody thought it was a reality show. They didn't know that it was a government right to confiscate your property anytime they feel they need to. So, well, anyway,
the thing is that I've also learned. I've broadcast on this for many years. Because it doesn't make any sense to me, going back all the way to the Christian Crusaders, you know, where the bank, whatever started. And, you know, Mom always said you can't make things out of thin air. You got to, you know, work it. And you think about it. I've broadcast this many, many times, even with you. Now, how is it that the banks... Where did they start? I mean, they started with the Christian Crusaders. I know that. And I know that, you know, when they hovered people in, they would give them their goods, the Crusaders, the goods, so that they could get, you know, over and hidden from, you know, those that, whoever, the French or whatever, kings and whoever. I don't even remember that part, but I just know the Christian Crusaders hovered them. And then they would take the next people and they would get them the piece of property through the goods that the others that hid, you know, and just exchange everything, you know. And back then it was different, but now it's, you say, I'm going to go to the bank and get a loan or whatever. Well, where did they get that money to borrow? Well, you borrow it from. Where did the bank come up with that money? That's what I want to know. And then why do we have to pay from, just like you and I, with your plane coming here and everything. It started at, what, 18%? Now it's 38%? You know, how does that happen and where does that come from? Where does that money that we owe credit to come from? Because all I know is that it's the dollar's going to break, just like I said, Ralph. And it's ironic because my mother's birthday is the 17th of September. My brother's birthday is October 28th. I'm saying that because everything is evolving around, you know, the anniversaries are those dates. And oddly enough, things happen in this world on those anniversaries. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into politics and religion, but in that same interview, they did a survey, and it was like 79% of the survey believed that we were collapsing as a country.
Yeah, that's what I said. November 17th. No, wait. November 27th, I saw the dollar collapsing, and I saw it started August 12th through 13th was the end of the last of the way we saw it. And then I said we had a rest period until October 2nd. And do you remember that tape that I had with my thumbprint on it that I had talked in my sleep? And I said, save the date, October 8th, October 28th. And it was called Hunt for Red October. Do you remember that?
Right.
I just didn't realize till now that the Malayan calendar ends October 28th.
Yeah.
You know, and ironically, that's one of my brother's birthdays. And November 27th is, I didn't realize when I wrote all that, other stuff down that's my parents' anniversary. So it's weird how things are with dates, but they are for me. You know, other people have their dates and times and things, the timeline. And, you know, I know that the cliches per se, when I was studying to write books, were not to use cliches in books, you know, like connect the dots, which came from when I was a little kid and playing a game with my brother in school and church to keep quiet. You know, that now everybody connects dots in their words or says that. But you know what I mean? It's the thing is that we are all a part of this whole program and we all need to get a grip and realize that it can't get mixed up any more than it already is. It's already stirred so thick that if people don't start learning to own their own stuff and speak it, that they, where they learned it from, so it can be a timeline like it's supposed to be, and quit being all about their egos and their bullshit, it's gonna collapse. It's gonna get worse and worse. Because nobody's gonna know who said what, who, like that Barb Peter from Paul thing, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost gonna be like, it's gonna be stirred so thick, nobody's gonna know who had what, where, when. It's just like, I don't do any more blogging, I don't do any more writing, I don't do any more anything, Michael, because it gets taken, and it gets taken out of context. So I'd rather keep it to myself and just speak it out the way, you know, to who needs to hear it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've been there many, many times. You know, I've been through it.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading something today on the TNT News Trader, and I was writing down a few words that I wanted to share with you tonight, because, you know how we talk about thinking outside the box, and I was thinking inside the box, but you're not supposed to get boxed in. But I was saying to you earlier today, I said, I have a contemplation, because I disassociate from myself and go out there when I meditate or trance, you know. So that basically is outside the box, okay? So I opened my journal to write down a few words that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. And ironically, I have 5 hearts hooked together that look like some kind of symbol that was posted on the light body that holds essence of the multi-dimensional self, which is posted on the TNT News Trader, our light body. And it's about the 5 dimension. Now, you remember I talked about the 5th dimension and the 4th dimension back in April starting, or May, and it was just opening up. And I'm just going to read this to you, okay? It's very short. I made it into a YouTube today. It's called Eclipse. I wrote it July the 22nd, 23rd, 2009. It's a Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, so it's basically like the soul retrieval, or basically like, you know, going out there. But it's from within myself, because when I write, I'm within myself. Let the words go. Make no reference, simply in its existence. Satisfied into my contentment. Present in this tone. Exist properly in this vast spaces of metallic, which bears its lining, glistening harbors told. Tranquility is the price of aversions, in which I cannot break self any longer. Still seeking, I should, I possess me in all ways, never to escape. Speaking and knowing only my truth, lying in its own reflections. Nothing deserving of its weak toll. No false prayers, perfect alignment, preparation of my soul, evermore, polished, never to be tarnished, a new grasp in its precious secrets, I face within me, now outward, speaking in such till now, for the knowing rippled, ripened its harvest, with the love I dance, with me, within me, for my mirror, holding to my heartfelt eyes as I reflect the real self of me. I shed all of the other's identities of my spirit for me to be only within the one identity that evokes in the tooth of true light to combine and combust that flickers of blue-violet beams that's so electrifying that energy into the universal communications. 1+1 positive and the minus negative of the one equals the oneness of the whole. The communications and the communities of the world. For I change in me, I say, make anew, stand anew, combine in me anew. Less is more, preparation of who I am I. Truth ever, naive, so young, aging to perfection, note in the harmonious balance. Oh, I hear with the ears that I hear, that feel the truth in the patience that is warm, easy as the joyous shoes that are so simple, pleasures in its wonders, in the lightness of each mindlessness, in the mindness that is simple doers, the calmness of ease and the courage of prayer, because the fear is courage of fear that has said its prayers, now knowing self to be true. And then the very last page, page 3, I never finished, it just says, clinging to the likeness of others is truly seeking the self into the other associates. And I never wrote any more on that page. So in other words, what I gathered from that is that we have to go within ourselves totally and project ourselves outwardly. We have to be so totally whole and pure inside and truthful to project ourselves outward outside that box. And that's what I was figuring, you know, earlier. And that's how you get so many really profound readings that you do. Because I know that you don't just sit there and read. You prepare before you get into a session. You know, so many people get out there, which is good that they practice and do. But, you know, there's not too many old-timers out there that are real. And, you know, I just like today when we did that broadcast, I'm like, well, I sat there and I didn't want to do any intuitives. I just wanted to sit there and listen to you because it's rare. It's rare to hear you anymore. And I just really am happy that you're getting back in the saddle and putting yourself out there so freely like you do.
Yeah. They're definitely increasing. If there's any local listeners, should I give a shout out for the public appearances or what? Real quick. Well, or?
If that's what you want to do, you go right ahead. I'm kind of like still clinging to that one I read. It was pretty deep.
You know, that poem you wrote or whatever, that was channeled, I feel.
Whew. I didn't even know I wrote it. It's in a book that didn't have any writing in it but 2-3 things. And I went to write some words down, jot down for us to discuss tonight, and I found it. And I made it into a YouTube. It's called 5D. If anybody wants to really study it, it's on Bridging Wisdom's YouTube, or you can just Google search, you know, the YouTube 5, the number 5, and the letter D. And we'll just leave it at that.
Cool. Because that's something you'd want to hear over and over or with me.
Yeah. I didn't read it. I didn't read it on the YouTube, Michael. I took pictures of each part of the page because it's so deep. It's blown my mind.
How I'd like to see it in text because, like, every little line or paragraph has a different meaning or you know how things will speak to us? Well, that's what your writing does.
Yeah. But
listen, upstate New York, if you're in Greene, Columbia County, October 29th, we got the Athens Volunteer Fire Department fundraiser with daycare and snacks offered for the people that are getting readings. If you have children, bring them with you. 5 p.m. Athens Volunteer Firefighters. Also, Point Lookout Inn, East Windham, New York, November 5th. You can register for a dinner and a reading, 518-734-3381. And with the Firehouse fundraiser, you can register with Tammy, 518-444-8029. And with that,
I just had a little snack.
I heard you ripping open something. What was that?
I did that because you suggested it.
Oh.
You said they were going to serve snacks, so I reached for a graham cracker.
Ah, okay, all righty.
I was a little loud on purpose.
On purpose, too.
Puppy won't stop. She's hearing your voice, and I did that, so that she could hear me to come over and get the cookie so that she'd be quiet.
Puppy, whoppy.
You got to explain to everybody how y'all are connected.
Where's Daddy? Puppy Whoppy is Kathy, a.k.a. Tassie's dog, and she fell in love with me.
She's 14 and a half. She'll be 14 November the 12th.
Yeah. I like older women, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I'm an older woman.
You are older than me.
You know what, Michael? The little crystal child, Adam, was over here the other night. And he goes, "Did you mind my asking, and not to be rude, how old you are?" And I said, "I'm 55. And he goes, "Oh, that's not real old. That's kind of in the middle."
Hmm.
And then he asked me, he said, "What, you know, I laid down to do a little meditation." And he goes, and then later he knew not to interrupt me. And he goes, what were you doing? I said, "Meditating." He says, "When are you going to explain to me how to do that?" He's nine. Wow. I said, "When Michael's here with me and your mom, then we will discuss meditations and we will learn how to do this." He says, "Well, I want to learn. I'm really in need to know how to meditate." This is a 9-year old.
Amazing. Which backs up my theory that they should start teaching meditation in kindergarten.
And I do want to say that since I taught him the tap on the wrist, that I didn't know, and I don't know how I learned that, but I've known it since I was little. My mom or somebody used to do it to me, tap just a couple of times on the wrist, it calmed me down, that he has not, his school and his work has been great. He has not gotten in trouble or anything, you know, because he's a little wiggle worm. But then I saw on your Facebook page that you had something called tapping on your page.
Yeah, what's it, EFT therapy or a series.
I'm sorry, Toby. You know what? There's a snapping of the rubber band that people used to do to quit smoking or whatever, too.
Yeah. I like affirmations because I'm in my head a lot, and it's convenient, and it's effective, and...
Damn if you are. You are a head person.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
You'd be surprised.
I know. Tell the active listening audience, you told me yesterday, and I even went with the video camera because I was showing you how we had changed the, you know, brought the plants in. And you said, "Oh, by the way, tell Gladys hello." And I said, "Who's Gladys?" And we went outside, and you said, "It's a spider that's outside at your house." And that was like 3.5 weeks ago you saw Gladys. Big old spider. And what is it that you say about spiders?
Spider arrives, good fortune thrives.
Right.
And
Gladys was there. And last year, Gladys was, I took pictures of a spider just like Gladys in the same spot with the full moon coming through.
Isn't that nice?
And something in the same, near the same spot. Well, it's closer to the house. So, but this spider is, huge. I'm talking, it's big around nearly as a golf ball.
Yeah, I would meditate on Tassie's deck, back deck, and I asked for a friend, and I got...
You said that it said, "Look up, look at me, look up, look at me," and you looked up over with the red-tailed honks came, and then they said, "Look at me, too," and it was a big old spider.
Uh-huh, absolutely, and it was always there for my meditations, and would meditate with me.
Uh-huh.
So,
Michael, and the energy you left in this house, I could literally see you walking through for days. It was as if, you know, how you would tiptoe through not to disturb me and my boundaries. And I could literally see you walk from your meditation room to the back where you slept. And also the other night, what was it, night before last, I kept saying, "Michael, I keep seeing since 11 o'clock this morning, I keep seeing this energy that's running so fast, I even thought it was Misty raining." And I realize now from a broadcast, because remember you were playing with those energy stones that we dug up from Hidden Night.
Mm-hmm.
And tell the active listening audience what happened with the stones, how it turned the medallion that we use for shamanism colors.
I got to back up a little because we went crystal hunting and we had a tray of all different types of stones. And when I left 3 weeks ago, Tass, he said, which one do you like? And I was pulled to this gorgeous, it's called a Herkimer diamond, and they're rare, and they, you could, the ones for clairvoyants have two black eyes. That's how you know it's the original, the real thing. And I got the two black eyes, but when I cleansed it and charged it when I got home, a third black eye started growing. And it's known to energize other stones, and I connect them to my other stones, and all of them changed one way or another. Like my lapis got little white orange speckles in it, and my rose quartz took on a design and a swirling design with the rose inside the quartz. The bridging crystal, it's got hands growing inside of it, like it's reaching out to bridge with something. So that was a little paranormal going on right there.
So the bridging crystal was really clear, and I used that. Several people have given, Medicine Walker gave it to me first. Then I gave it to Johnny the hairdresser. He gave it to his mom. His mom gave it to, back to me. And it goes to different people, and it's got crystals inside of it. And in that shaman video, you can see that bridging crystal with my Christmas tree, if anybody wants to see it, in Bridging Wisdom. And inside of it, Michael, with the candles, remember when I said I'm passing to you every good thing you've ever given to me and every thought that you've ever done the second visit you came here?
Yeah.
And when I gave it to you, you dug it out of the wax, right?
Right.
Because I didn't want to disturb it. And it was with all those other stones. It was pure clear. And you said, you brought up, you know that smoky big crystal? Because it kept disappearing on us when you were here, remember?
Uh-huh.
It would be in your pocket, then it would be on the table. Wouldn't that be? It would be all different places. It just bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
You remember? And you said it's smoky color.
Yeah.
It turned colors. It turned into a smoky quartz when it was pure clear.
Yes. And that is that the bridging crystal that I brought, that you gave me?
It was gaining all the energies in the house, and it turned to a smoky quartz from the clear quartz.
Not the one I picked.
And yes. The one, no, not the one you found, but the one I gave you, the bridge. And now it grew these things from the one that you found. And I'm holding one of those in my hand right now, but it doesn't have any black dots. Now, the orange one that I gave you the very first time you came had two little black dots in it, remember?
Yeah.
The orange one.
And the purple one, too. Mm-hmm.
Does it still have the black dots in it?
They look like snails.
Yeah, little black eyeballs.
Yeah.
You always pull on the ones that are long looking.
Oh, I guarantee you. Well, I'm holding this Herkimer diamond right now, and
so am I.
It's pulsating pink. I mean pink, and it's pulsating. And I'm going to turn this into a necklace. I guarantee you that somewhere in my life.
You know what, Michael?
This I'm will hang around my
and
neck.
And I have it with the lapis, and it's turned this light ice blue.
Wow.
It was pure clear.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ever use them for anything except for pretties until you told me that the other day. You know,
well, this is, I adopted this as my official stone. And
tell them what the reader, the sitter said the other day.
I was reading somebody and I was breaking this stone in, and I briefly told them about it, and they felt the energy like through the phone, or they got chills going down their back.
Yeah.
Now, this stone is a programmable stone. You can program it for what you want or desire.
Mm-hmm.
And you can charge it, and it can charge other things. Mm-hmm. So You know, I sleep with it under my pillow, and it's always with me.
And it came from Hidden Knight, North Carolina, right down the road from me, where I've been digging stones for 35 years.
And hopefully I'm the only human being that's touched it, in a way. You know?
Yeah, you are, because you took all the stones. I kind of went through them, but I didn't really touch them. And you washed every one of them. And even when I put them in the platter from the wax platter, from I only touched a couple of them still. They still are from your hands and from Mother Earth, which I feel honored to have because you scrubbed each one with a toothbrush.
Every one of them.
Must be hundreds.
And I talked to them and I filled them with love and Reiki and chi.
Because my entire active listening audience, my entire altar of stones that I have collected since I was a little girl all over the world, gradually, as Michael can vouch for since he's been here, have been taken from my house. There's not one. There's only a couple left that were in my possession in my pocketbook. And so we went and dug some more because I figured, well, people don't know what they got because they have no clue where they came from Egypt's pyramid to, you know, the bottom of the ocean in Jamaica. But these are brand new and fresh, and they're taken from the Mother Earth. And it's neat because they're from where I used to take my kids to dig stones. And they would take this big, huge digger thing and dig into the earth and bring these buckets. And we'd buy the buckets, emeralds. And we have probably, 25, 30 emeralds, right?
We had a lot of emeralds. They're worth polishing or...
Yeah. We're going to polish a lot of them, aren't we?
Well, this one is going to be... I'm telling you, I'm already designing it. I can see a golden crown with lapis in it.
Ooh.
So, and then with a gold chain. And that will hang around my neck. I would love to design jewelry.
Yeah. Pottery, jewelry. You should see this man's. I gave him my camera to use the other day when he was here because I never made a contact with this huge camera I've got. I'm not going to say the name, but I've been a photographer since I was probably in the 70s. And Michael picks this camera up that I cannot even hold because it's so big and powerful. And evidently, it's too big for me because when I snap it, it shakes. He takes the most profound yellow rose photo that y'all watched. This yellow rose photo with Michael Goger's name on it. It's going to be a sympathy card. It's going to be a welcome home card. It's going to we're going to open a card business as well with some of his photography because we're going to use several different techniques that make one photograph. We weren't going to give out that secret till they're already made. Because anybody can make a card, but nobody can make a Tessie and Michael exposed card.
No. And I will be making meditation CDs and visualization CDs.
Mm-hmm. I'll hope that we all get to do that, even using, you know, little Adam. And also, I wanted to bring up that we will be using Blog Talk Radio now to do a lot of readings. We're going to do definitely Friday night from what time? 8 to 10, right? No, 9 to 11. Because that's the time we started, right? Because it's 9-11.
I know. Are you there?
I am. I'm listening to you.
Okay, I was, let's talk about the date and time before we write it in stone.
Okay, well, I was just saying that because you've announced it today.
Yeah. We can, all right, let's go with Friday, but it might be the next two Fridays I have an appointment when we were going to be doing the shows, so I didn't realize it until after we did the other show. So you see how it goes on air.
Yeah, but you should see your calendar. I don't have a calendar or a clock.
I showed my son today, and he looked at it, and he goes, oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
He says, can you handle that? And I says, just like Rocky, Eye of the Tiger.
I don't have a clock or a calendar because I just do it.
Mm-hmm. There's no cycles in this woman's home.
None, because it doesn't exist.
You're close to the astral plane when you enter her domain. No calendar, no clock.
No TV.
No TV, no cycles. I was calling out for weather reports.
You were right in every one of them, though. You called the weather every day before 2 days. You would call the weather 3 days in advance and tell me exactly what time it was by the sun.
You see what happens
and
when...
And then we would turn on the computer or our cell phone and it would be the exact time within minutes.
I touched nothing but my cell phone, and that was rarely.
I know.
And I was becoming an aborigine. I was starting to get messages. You see what happens?
That's how I am, though. I just program my head or just go, okay. Yeah. Or I'll turn on the computer if I have to have the exact time. But I can go even, I'll say, okay, the buzzer's getting ready to go, or the buzz set the buzzer for a cake or something. I know it's time. As soon as I get up, the buzzer goes off. I just have that thing in me because I've gone so long without a clock or a calendar.
Mm-hmm. And but I learned how to tell what time it was without after a while.
Yeah, because that's what I do, and that's what you do. Mm-hmm. Going back into the Native American days.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there's no reason to turn on the TV unless you want to just zone out and veg. You know what I mean?
Zone out and veg.
You've been here three times, and we just learned how to find a TV program. We had to call them on the telephone now to use the TV. And they had to walk us through how to turn it on.
And here's two veteran readers, and they can't even turn on a TV.
Because it's not necessary. I'm so, with the artwork and the stones and the, you know, the nature and the energy. Gosh, talk about that freaking energy with those stones. That's where we were going with it. Because I kept seeing all these energy colors coming in, and I thought it looked like misty rain. I even went outside to check, and it was energy. Just like I saw back in the 80s and again in the 90s, and even went to the eye doctor back then to see if something was wrong with my eyes. And you were holding the stones, and you were projecting it into the house.
Wow.
And then later, I heard on that one of my favorite shows on BBS, Station 2 on Sunday nights, James Gillian, he said that the energies were coming down, you know, new energy. So that just gave me an affirmation there, because it's kind of subsided now. But
Well, we're in constant state of change.
Right.
But this is, it's intensifying and mixed in with a lot of other things that we see on the news. But also.
He even used the words connect the dots. That's what triggered me to listen even more into his broadcast.
That's
a good station.
It's a good saying, connect the dots.
Well, I don't know. I've just grown up with it because my mom was trying to keep us still, and she connected all these dots on a piece of paper. And she says, now you take a piece of, you take turns, and you just take a line and draw from one dot to the next until you make a box. And then you put your initial in it and connect those. And it was called the game Connect the Dots. And that's how, back in the day when I started broadcasting in 2006, I called it Connect. And my first blog was called Connect the Dots in Unraveling the Stars.
Love it.
Yeah. And then, the timelines I learned to do when I was in school, and I stressed, to keep the timeline. Now everybody's keeping timelines, which that is so important, but I'm a trendsetter. What can I say?
Yeah. You are different. You're unique, that's for sure.
I am unique, but I'm a trendsetter. People love to pick it up and go with it.
Yeah. And you're eccentric. I know I am, and together we're two eccentrics.
Oh my gosh.
All we need is a chauffeur.
You know what? You I gotta say this. Back in the day when we first met and you would read in that room and I'd be, here comes that energy, and you finally allowed me to stay in your room because you realized I was just that energy. And I didn't know what it was, but you used to say, "Tassie, hold my cape." And somehow Driving Miss Tassie came up. Little did we know we would ever meet. Little did we know you would be Driving Miss Tassie.
Because
my license expired because I forgot to go get them renewed. And so, Michael, you drove Bertha around, and you were Driving Miss Tassie, missing my driveway every single time from 20 million times. The only reason we're bringing all this up is to give y'all a little light. We had a pretty heavy beginning here on this broadcast.
I have a laugh. And
yeah.
We were going to teach. Well, I guess we are teaching. We're teaching.
Yeah, because all I'm saying is, how things come around.
Yeah.
You speak it out, it comes around. We said Driving Miss Tassie. Here you were, Driving Miss Tassie. It's almost like, what comes around goes around, or connect the dots.
Where it was.
Hey, you burned out almost every light bulb in this house, by the way.
I was wondering if
just that our energy's burned out nearly every light bulb, even the overhead. All the overheads are gone, and those are those great big skylight light bulbs. I can't even reach them. I don't know how I'm gonna get them changed.
I was wondering.
In this huge room, Michael, I have the one over there on the altar, and I have the one behind my back, and I've got only one out of three lights in the bar left in this whole room, and one in the kitchen. That's it in the front half of the house.
Man.
You burned out eight bulbs.
I drained.
Together.
Another day, we would have been down to candles.
Well, I'm.
I can't help it if I'm. I must have been an overload.
I don't know. All I know is that I love you to pieces and back, and it's good stuff.
Well, that's
I enjoy you.
That's a good thing. I love you to pieces, and I enjoy you. And the fact,
anybody in their right mind would not ever try to keep us apart.
This is true. If you
look, they would want to see the world be a better place with you and I together.
Yeah, yeah. We could accomplish unbelievable creations.
Amazing creations. Because you know me better than I know myself, as I know you better than you know yourself. And, together, what makes my temper hot, and what makes your temper hot makes our tempers cool in the middle, which balance each other. You know what I mean? Like you love to wait on me, and you love to give and do, and you're very soft and gentle and loving and like a teddy bear. And I'm very strong and hard out there, and I'm loud but then I get real quiet and withdrawn. And we're learning how to balance the happy medium. And what the greatest thing about the whole thing is in this relationship is how we have learned that if we have a conflict, we sit back, let it settle, don't push it, and then we discuss it. That's a main key in a communication of a relationship.
I agree.
And this man can cook. Good. How old can he cook?
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, honey, and tidy. Tidy, remind me of Mary Poppins, tidy up.
That I like. I like it when we sit down to eat, the kitchen's cleaned already.
Yeah. Hey, what is this kitchen folk?
Kitchen folk or folk that gyrate towards the kitchen?
Uh-huh.
You know, you wind up with everybody leaning on the counter and the table full and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got living room folk. They gyrate towards the living room. The sofa, the recliner.
You seem to be more of a kitchen folk. That's where you like to meditate.
Yeah.
You're a living room folk, too. You like the sofa. There's a wraparound sofa in this house, and it's like a raft, and we meditate. Good Lord, we don't even have to talk.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is,
let me get into something here. I want you to explain to me how it is about the outside the box, because that's not bothering me, because I know that I disassociate from myself when there is a situation I need to look at. I will go within myself, contemplate on it, and then project myself out and look at it outside the box. But I go within first and gather it all up and then go out there. Yeah. It's like I disassociate from the situation in order to come back to it in a clean sweep. Because I know I live inside myself, but I know that I think outside the box in order not to be boxed in inside of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And depending on how you would describe your consciousness at the time of receiving paranormal information, what is your consciousness? With me, I go inside in stages. I start with prayer, then meditation, then my chakras, and deeper, deeper, and deeper. And then I can visualize from there what I can write the software as I'm receiving it. What's your state of mind? What's your consciousness when you're receiving info?
I think of my mind not like a blueprint, but like a roadmap. And the more I think of certain thought, it makes a route into that roadmap. And I can go in and rotor-rooter that roadmap out and stop that synapses to fire into that particular route that it thinks it knows all. I'll keep going to and keep thinking that thought. You know, I get back in charge of my subconscious mind. I feel that my unconscious mind is when I totally disassociate, deprogram myself, and let everything go. Then I come back into the consciousness. I'm always in the consciousness through Christ. And I feel that the super consciousness is when I get the downloads. Mm. And the downloads come so fast that I couldn't speak it if I tried. Because it's like, you know, like that. But I understand it. I just can't speak it. It's just too much. But I know it as fast as it's faster than light, than time or light. You know, light is faster than time. But that's why I don't see that things as time. Because I see it as downloaded so fast that it's almost like without thought, it's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes sense.
And that's why when other people try to use something that I've written or said or spoken, it's only a little fraction of anything because they have not downloaded it themselves.
You know what I like about your abilities I find interesting and unique?
What's that?
They appear not to have been polluted by others' journeys in their books.
Right. That's true. Now, I did study in school, like the Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung, Watson, Newton, you know, things like that. But I did not study Buddha, Gandhi. You know, I studied the Bible. But I am finding out that a lot of my work and techniques are Gandhi, Buddha, what you call that guy that sleeps and talks in his sleep. Yeah, because I don't want to know anybody else's stuff. I want to get it pure, raw, out there from the knowing. And that's what's bothersome when people, I hear it word for word. And you can say it's parallel all you want to, but it's that's bullcock. You know what I mean? It's just like, people. But what my surprise is I got several people that are friends of mine and colleagues that are putting together all of my spoken word and my written words, because I don't put it out there anymore. I don't blog. I only do VBS and a few blog talks of my teachings. But they're putting together, and they're studying other people's, and they're putting it together, timelines of my work and then the other person's work to show the authenticity of my work. Isn't that something? I was going to surprise you with it, but I'm really honored that I've got people that want to do that for me.
How much time do we got? It's getting close, so
we've got about a few minutes, maybe 12 minutes.
Boy, can we yak or what? Did the show start? I feel like we just said, hey, we were going to touch on...
you were going to touch on pulling and...
Pulling and attraction.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, maybe quick we can touch on it, like the law of attraction, and are you pulling it to you or are you attracting it to you? It seems to be the same dynamic, but with a different energy, so to speak. And so... everybody should check on what they're attracting to themselves and how they're attracting it. If you're trying to make it happen or obsessive compulsive or stalking or inappropriate behavior, you may be doing it wrong. Instead of just announcing that you're open and that you would desire this and doing a few mental disciplines like affirmations, that's the way you should be doing it. That's the right way to manifest. There's two ways to manifest, and I just feel... pulling may be a little negative or heavy or cause friction, and attracting causes energizing and truth and ease. So I just wanted to pass that along because I find in my field, and I've been doing it a long time, that a lot of people are manifesting and attracting, but doing it the wrong way, or pulling instead of attracting. So that's why I wanted to just get that out real quick. I thought it was an interesting little tidbit.
I love it. Because I feel like I am being watched all the time. Or let's give an example. I was eating a pear today. And it had no taste, and it didn't taste even like a pear. It was an odd fruit. Immediately after I finished that, someone posted that. Exactly what I thought, exactly what I ate, everything. Huh? So do you want to call that parallel? It's so many times that happens to me that it's almost becoming stupid silly. So it's obvious to me. And to question my integrity of my gifts as well. So, by the way, I have a very big affirmation for you about the fox hunt and my dad on the horse. And it's been known to say that this anonymous thing is going to take down Fox News or Fox Channel, Fox, whatever, on the 5th of November. And they call it a fox hunt. So keep your heads up on that, because that's pretty funny. I don't know what that's all about. I hadn't really looked into it, but I'm sure you can look up anonymous and the mask and something to do with back in the day in the 1800s or 1600s or whatever. But the fox hunt and Mecklenburg hounds and all that stuff that my dad, and you know, I was raised with the fox hunts. And, you know, my mom used to say we were elite and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know whether I'm a target victim, but it kind of feels like I am, my family. And but I guess we all are.
Yeah, there's an old saying on the street.
I feel like, wait a minute, I feel like, you know how somebody will make a big mask thing in order to cover up and have it look like somebody else did it, like a government thing or whatever? I feel like there's a clean situation going on an up and up, but there's an undercover trying to make it look like the clean person did, the clean situation. You know, group did something wrong, and they think they're going to pull it off. But I want to just clarify: truth always prevails, and the darkness is always shed into the light, and love always conquers all. Pure love.
That's right, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And use honey instead of vinegar.
Mm-hmm. But make sure that you share everything in order to get back enough to keep it going.
Absolutely.
To replenish the pot, the honey pot.
Yes.
And, you know, harvest your seeds right. And don't be so greedy.
Leave everything better than you found it.
And always remember, too, I want to say this. Just keep and use exactly what you need. Leave the rest for others.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so, you know, thinking that we need all that and then some, because we really don't need that much to survive.
No. Since I got a little older and downsized, you'd be surprised how very little you need to get by on.
I would give my entire world if people would only respect it. Yeah, because I only get back that much more. But the thing is, that makes me sick is to patronize me and to think they're undermining me or conning me. That makes me sick. Mm-hmm. And I know where I'm going when I die. I know I'm going to heaven's bound, and I want everybody to meet me there because of all the people and spirits. You know, just like reading that energy. People have personalities and faces in my energy field. Anybody that focuses in on me, they have a face in my energy, in their energy on me. And I want to meet that energy, you know, one-on-one one day.
You know, before we shut down, I'd like to give a shout-out and ask everybody to send their prayers to Turkey with the earthquake they had. There's still over 1,000 people buried in the rubble and several hundred dead. So
God bless.
And I mean, they're pulling out kids and women. And it's heartbreaking.
It's just devastating.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody all together sometime in the next 24 hours, send out a prayer of strength and
healings.
Healing
it so it does not have aftershock.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, it's been a pleasure.
I enjoyed our little chit chat, my dear.
I know, my little lesson, my little teacher.
The tea was lovely. I love the garden. Exquisite.
You know your puppy Wubby's sitting right under this mic. Microphone.
Well, it wouldn't be a party without Puppy.
Yeah. Let me just say her whole name real quick. Puppy Wubby, Girly Whirly. Yes, hers really, really is, y'all. Her new name is Twinkle Twinkle, Long Tongue Licker, Labrador, Pimento Cheese, Peanut Butter and Jelly, Sandwich, Salami Bologna, and Sylvania Lightbulb today. That's Puppy Puppy Girly Whirly Yesterday. It's Sergio really, really is BL. Her new name is Twin Tuka Lang, the Henry Little Gilly Bell, Pimenities, Peanut Butter and Jelly Sound, Salami Glam, and Sylvania Light Bulb today. Come to Mama's.
This will be a keeper.
Yeah, let me just say the one that passed. Fee fi fo fum, Abby doo doo dum, and doo doo time, shoodily doo to the poo. Hee hee nip nip in the bud to the peepaw girl, come to Mama's. And hee hee puppy lee, nip nip in the bud to the peepaw girl. Barney Burn Burn Beatrice to the Bim Bim Pretty Boy Floyd. That's just some of my animals' names. So, you know, guys, I act a little silly and whacked, but I'm really one of the most profound, wittiest women. I'm going to toot my horn.
Genius.
I'm tooting it. I know who I am, and I'm all that and a bag of chips.
Ooh.
I pretend like I'm not, and I pretend a little wacky and silly. This woman is coming full force head on. Now, it's time to wake the asses up. With that, Michael, I'm going to kiss you. I love you. And it's time to say goodbye. Boundaries!
Ow. Cocktail, anyone?
Yeah. Light it up, baby. Halloweeners!
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
All right, we got to stop. We got to get back to broadcasting.
I got to just say, love you, BBS Radio. Don Newsom, thank you so much. Doug, thank you. And Seth, thank you. I want to hear you sing one day. I love you, Michael.
Love you, Stoker. Love you, Don. I love you, everybody. BBS rocks.
Have at it. Enjoy the festivities of the fall season. We are off the air.